Mark Levine.
Welcome to Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. You know me well. I want to talk about the race for president. Now, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. Those of you that know me well know I normally talk about the issues. I normally talk about the specifics of the Obama and McCain campaign, their proposals, what they would do on everything from Iraq to the economy to universal health care and so forth. I also try to give you the details about who the players are, their biography, what John McCain, Sarah Palin, Barack Obama, Joe Biden have done, all of that. What I don't normally do is what the mainstream media does, which is give you the horse race. Well, this hour, I want to talk about the horse race. And I want to do so not because I'm going to copy what the mainstream media is doing. Don't worry. I think I'm going to give you insights. I hope to give you insights that the mainstream media is not giving you about who's ahead, who's behind, and where and why, and most importantly, what you can do to help us get a new president of the United States, a change from the past 8 years. Now, I made a prediction 3 months ago that I can prove it because if you go to my website, radioinsidescoop.com, radioinsidescoop.com, and you click on my video resume, you will see deep in the heart of that I made a prediction 3 months ago when that resume was first created that the winner of the state of Colorado will win the election this fall. I stand by that prediction. It could change. We'll talk about why I think that, and if not Colorado, whom? If not Colorado, I would say Virginia. My home state is second most important state in the United States. Third is Ohio. Four is Nevada. And we'll talk about why. But basically, as I calculate the Electoral College map, and I've been through it with the green eye shades, and I've added all the numbers and subtracted and done all the appropriate calculations, I'm going to go through those with you this hour so you understand why Colorado will decide this election. Now, when I was in Denver, Colorado, for the Democratic National Convention, I appeared on local television there and told them, to their evident surprise, that the winner of Colorado will win this year's presidential election. They were surprised. I was the first person that had told them of it. Now I'm starting to see some other analysts come with my same predictions. But I want to go through this because, let's face it, the popular vote does not decide the president of the United States, as everyone well knows. And for those that didn't know it, after 2000, they know it well. Indeed, after 2000, we should know that not even the Electoral College decides the President of the United States. If it's close, the Supreme Court chooses. That's not the way the law is. That's not the way the Constitution is. That's not the way the statutes are. That's just the way it happened in 2000. And no doubt, there are five justices, at least, on the Supreme Court who, if they had a chance, would throw their weight behind John McCain. But if we win by a decent margin, not by the few hundred votes that, or even 10,000 votes that Al Gore won in Florida that went away because of the stupid butterfly ballot, or the hundreds of votes he won without the butterfly ballot, if we win by a significant margin, let's just say a few thousand votes, Colorado should decide. And today it's going to be not so much about policy as about math. So I hope I won't bore you here. I don't think I will, because I think as you'll be watching each of the states come in, I want everyone to do what I do. Ever since I was 10 years old in my first presidential election that I can remember well, I have taken out a map of the United States, complete with all the states. It's easy. You just trace one. And then I color them in, red or blue. As the states come in, I've got the numbers, electoral votes, I add them all up. I've been doing that since I was 10 years old. It's frankly one of my joys on election night. And so I have a pretty good indication of which state goes where. I want you to know that in 2000, I predicted every single state accurately. Every one of them. I'm very proud of that. I predicted every single state the way it went, including Al Gore winning Florida, which, as we know, he did. So I got every state right. I got an Al Gore victory. I was very happy in 2000. And that map, which I've saved, is the only one that's got a strange X over it. Because when they announced Florida for Gore, I filled it in blue. That's what you're supposed to do when they announce a state. You fill it in. And so that map got messed up. It's a part of history now. But the reason I tell you all this is that I'm getting pretty good at looking at the maps, looking at the polls, understanding where the election's going to go, and I've got some predictions to make. They may change. Hey, people change their minds as it gets closer to the election. Can you believe that we're only 6 weeks away? I mean, here we've been waiting. God, we've been waiting 8 years for this Bush presidency to end. And in November 4th, 6 weeks, 6 weeks from next Tuesday, we can finally end that presidency. Amazing. But I'm very concerned, and I hope that y'all are too, and you're working on behalf of the Obama-Biden ticket. I myself am going to do some canvassing on Saturday, on Election Day. I'm going to go out and protect Virginia voters' right to vote, as I've done every Election Day since 1996. I go to the polls, and if someone's turned away, I make sure that they get their right to vote. But I've been looking at these poll numbers, and you can take out your maps if you want. You can follow my predictions if you want. And I am ready to say that whoever wins Colorado will be the next president of the United States. If not Colorado, then Virginia. If not Colorado and Virginia, then Ohio. If not that, then Nevada. But let me explain why and where all this comes from. If you look at the map that John Kerry and Al Gore won in 2000 and 2004, and we assume wrongly that Florida was won by Bush in 2000, which is what all the people say on all the maps that they show us, even though it's not right. We can see there's very little difference between the Gore and Kerry maps. Only three states flipped. The Republicans won a solid South, absolutely solid South, everywhere from Florida, again, assuming it's for Bush, Florida and the Southeast, up to the very tip of Virginia and West Virginia, across Kentucky, Missouri. I mean, Kentucky and Missouri are states that are only part Southern, all the way down Oklahoma, Texas. The whole Confederate South, and some border states too, Kentucky, Missouri, West Virginia, solidly for the Republican. And this, of course, is true for historical reasons. We all know what happened in 1964 when Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act and said that he was putting the death knell on the Democratic Party. He did the right thing. He did the right thing. There's no question he did the right thing. What he did, ending Jim Crow across the United States, bringing African Americans as part of our full equal citizenship, cannot be underestimated. In many ways, it was more important than Brown versus Board of Education, at least equally important. But in doing so, Lyndon Johnson recognized that he was signing the death knell for the Democratic Party in the South. Richard Nixon, with his Nixon strategy, understood that too. And in those two elections, 1968, 1972, all those Democratic segregationist Southerners became part of the Republican Party, while liberals and progressives were the Democrats. So the Democratic Southerners became Republican, and the progressive Republicans became Democrats. And that's where we are today. What that means is that we lost the South. Now, Bill Clinton got some of it back. Bill Clinton, from Arkansas, managed to break in, get Arkansas, Louisiana, even Tennessee. I guess his vice president, Al Gore, didn't do as well as Clinton himself. But today, Obama is not expected to win any of the solid South, with the exception of Virginia. I'll get to that in a moment. But if you look at the Kerry and Gore states, and again, take out your maps here, because I want everyone to do what I do on election night, to grab your maps and fill in the states. You'll see that the Gore and Kerry states are identical with the exception of three. The exception of Iowa, New Mexico, and New Hampshire. Throw those states out for a minute, and let's look at the states that both Gore and Kerry won. We've got the West Coast, we've got Hawaii, California, Oregon, and Washington. All of those states. We have the Midwestern states, Illinois, and Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Then, of course, we have the Northeast. All of New England except New Hampshire, Maine, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, D.C., and Michigan, another Midwestern state. In fact, those states, interestingly, are so clustered as to connect to Canada, and that's why there was a favored map after the Kerry election that I remember well, where the blue states joined Canada and became part of the United States of Canada, and the rest remained as Jesus land. But yes, apparently if you're near water and you're not in the South, you're going to lead to a more progressive politics. Well, there are three states that switched sides. Al Gore lost New Hampshire. He lost New Hampshire by 7,000 votes. 7,000 votes. 23,000 people in New Hampshire in 2000 voted for Ralph Nader. If one third of the Nader voters in New Hampshire, not half, not 90%, if just one out of three had decided, instead of voting their preference, had recognized that voting for the lesser of two evils would prevent an incredible evil from coming across the country. If the Nader voters, one in three of them, had recognized that Al Gore, an environmentalist, someone who works harder than anyone to stop global warming, someone who is a good mainstream Democrat, if a third of the Nader voters had recognized that he was much, much better than the corruption and illegality and war and destroyed economy and corporate welfare and secrecy and all that became the Bush administration, Al Gore wouldn't have needed Florida. Even had they stolen Florida, all he had to do was win little old New Hampshire. Thanks, Nader voters. Not to mention the ones in Florida, obviously. There you'd only need about 1 in 50,000 to change their minds. Or I guess 150,000. I don't know. That one's hard. They would have cheated anyway. Probably needed 1,000. But Al Gore lost New Hampshire. But New Hampshire is changing. New Hampshire was the one state in New England that was very Republican. It had two Republican senators. That's changing. It now has a Democratic governor. It's going to have a new Democratic senator. New Hampshire is becoming like the rest of New England. I guess when you are surrounded by Massachusetts and Vermont and Maine for long enough, you just can't stay prickly and conservative. New Hampshire went for John Kerry. And while it's going to be close, I think New Hampshire is going to go for Obama. But as I'm going to explain, we don't even need it. So take out your maps. Two other states flipped from Gore to Kerry in the wrong direction. Kerry won New Hampshire, Gore didn't. Gore won Iowa and New Mexico, and Kerry didn't. So the election in New Mexico was so close that they had to have a recount. Here's my prediction. My prediction is that Barack Obama will win all of the Gore and Kerry states. Now, what's interesting is that all of the Gore and Kerry states, the Gore states plus New Hampshire, if you will, would have been enough in 2000 to actually win the election. That's all he needed. But, of course, with the census, we find that a lot of people are leaving New England. They've gone to the South and they've gone to the West, and so those states have lost electoral votes, as has been happening throughout the last century, and the red states have gained electoral votes. So because of that, we now know that we need more. The 271 votes that would have won it for Gore only give us 264 electoral votes now. The magic number is 270. Well, actually it's 269. It's 269 because there are 538 electoral votes. Hope you're following this math here. And by the way, if anything's confusing, give me a call, 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. I'll be happy to explain it all, because I've been pondering over these maps for quite a long time. But basically, the states that had Gore won in 2000, he would have won the election, which excludes the craziness in Florida. Just give him his states plus New Hampshire, he would have won. Today, it's only 264. Obama needs 6 electoral votes more. But you know what? He really doesn't. He only needs 5. There's 538 electoral votes. So pundits will tell you it takes 270 to win a majority. Not exactly right. Because there's an even number of electoral votes, it could end up 269-269, a tie. And if it ends up 269-269, the Constitution tells us what happens next. It goes to the House of Representatives, and the House of Representatives meets in a very strange fashion. It meets, and then all of its representatives give each state one vote. California gets a vote. Wyoming gets a vote. California with 30 million people gets the same vote as Wyoming with less than 500,000. It'd be like the residents of Bakersfield, California, getting a full vote. But that's how it works. That's the Constitution. We ain't changing it now. What's interesting is that in 2000, had it been a tie, the Republicans controlled Congress. They had the majority of state delegations. George Bush would have won. Interestingly, because it was a 50-50 Senate and Al Gore would have broken the tie as the vice president, then the Senate could have voted for the Democratic vice president. And irony of ironies, we could have had a Bush-Lieberman ticket. That was before Lieberman was a traitor. Let's move to the present day. Because the Democrats control Congress, and more importantly, because they control a majority of state delegations, Obama wins all time. Right now, the Democrats control 27 state delegations. Under any theory of the election, any theory at all, it's hard to imagine the Democrats controlling less than 26, and that's a majority. And even if you've got some craziness, you know, somebody in Mississippi or North Dakota where, by the way, the majority delegation is Democratic, but maybe those states are conservative enough that the Democrat switches and decides to vote with his or her state. Even so, even with 25, we should be sufficient because there are a couple state delegations that are split. We don't have to win 26-24. We might win 25-22. The point is, under any reasonable analysis, assuming the Democrats hold true to their party, and can you imagine the pressure? I mean, if you had a Democrat in the House of Representatives switch and vote for McCain instead of Obama, I am sure that Democrat would be run out of the party. That would be treason far worse than anything Joe Lieberman has done. So I'm pretty confident Obama wins all ties. All he needs is 269. And what does he have? He's got 264. 264 with the Kerry and the Gore states. Well, is there any state that Kerry and Gore won that Obama might lose? It's possible. The most worrisome one is Pennsylvania, where Hillary Clinton beat Barack Obama by a fair amount. Other possibilities are Michigan. It's a little close, too close for comfort in my mind. Minnesota, Wisconsin are a bit close for me. New Mexico, I wish were a little farther away. But I'm not particularly worried about any of them. Because if he doesn't get the states that I need him to get, the ones that get him from 264 to 269, then, you know, if he loses Pennsylvania or Michigan or Minnesota too, it's just, I mean, McCain wins. It's not even close. In my view, Obama will get all of the Kerry / Gore states before he considers crossing over into one of the new states, the ones he needs to win. So what about the 3 switched states? That is Iowa, New Mexico, and New Hampshire. Iowa and New Mexico went for Gore, did not go for Kerry. New Hampshire went for Gore and did not go for Gore and did go for Kerry. Everybody following? Well, of those 3 switched states, Iowa is safely in the Obama camp. Remember, Obama won the Iowa caucuses. Iowa gave Obama his start. Obama camped out in Iowa, spent a lot of time there talking to a lot of people. I ain't worried about Iowa. I'm more worried about Pennsylvania than I am about Iowa. Iowa's safe. And I, at the end of the day, I think Minnesota, Pennsylvania, and Michigan are safe, though if you live in any of those states, they're very important. Work hard. So that leaves New Mexico and New Hampshire is on the fence. Without New Mexico and New Hampshire, he has 255. I think Obama's going to win New Mexico. I think that while it's close, he seems to be going away with it. I think that Latino voters are going to like the idea of a half-African-American president. I think Bill Richardson will strongly push for Obama. I think Obama's going to eke it out in New Mexico. That brings him to 260. He could conceivably lose in New Hampshire. But you know what? It doesn't matter because we go back to what I said at the beginning. If he wins Colorado, that's nine. He's at 269. He doesn't need New Hampshire. He doesn't need New Hampshire. Now, if he wins New Hampshire and doesn't win New Mexico, we've got troubles. That's 268. That's just barely not enough. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think New Mexico's pretty solid. Again, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Minnesota, these are all states I've got slight concerns about, but not major concerns. I think he'll be okay. I think we're at a solid 260. So we need nine more. Where will those nine electoral votes come from? It will come from one of four places. Again, whether or not we win New Hampshire maybe doesn't matter. Because the state most likely to switch it is Colorado. Nine electoral votes. The second state most likely to switch it is Virginia, my home state, which I'm working very hard for Obama to win. That's 13 electoral votes. 13 electoral votes. If he wins the states I expect him to win, and he wins either Colorado or Virginia, he's home free. Just one of those, just Colorado or Virginia, or Ohio. Ohio, famously, is the state that made the difference in the 2004 race. In 2004, if Kerry had won Ohio, and he was only 100-something thousand votes away, he'd be president right now. And at the time, we all know about the incredible scandals that were happening in Ohio. We know that because of people like the Secretary of State, Kenneth Blackwell, we know that Ohio voters were prevented from voting, and that can change. And Ohio's enough. In fact, Ohio would give Obama such a victory, he wouldn't even need New Mexico. Subtract 260, you could subtract New Mexico, take it down to 255. He wouldn't even need it. He wouldn't need New Hampshire, and he wouldn't need New Mexico. Ohio alone would bring him across the top. With Virginia, he's got to win New Mexico. The same is true with Colorado. The last one, they could do it. I think it's the least likely one, but it'd be the most interesting for those of us that like constitutional law and political science, is if he wins New Hampshire, and I think he will, and then he loses Colorado and he loses Virginia and he loses Ohio, he can still win if he wins Nevada. Nevada's 5 plus New Hampshire's 4 takes him to 2, and New Mexico takes him to 269, and it's a tie, and Obama wins. So at the end of the day, Obama only needs to win, in my view, one of four states, Colorado most important, and he's slightly ahead, I mean like 0.3% ahead, slightly ahead, Virginia, where he's about a point behind, Ohio, where he's about a point and a half behind, or Nevada, where he's about a point and a half, maybe 2 points behind. He only needs one of those four states. And we'll be talking about President Obama in just 3 months. Toll free, 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. Kevin, welcome to the Inside Scoop. Kevin, are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yeah, I hear you fine. So today I'm doing polls. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so am I, and I think you forgot another state to mention. Indiana.
No, let me tell you why I don't mention Indiana. It's not inconceivable that Obama wins Indiana. I agree that it's possible. But if Obama wins Indiana, I'm confident that he will win Ohio before he wins Indiana. Or he'll win Virginia before he wins Indiana. Or he'll win Colorado before he wins Indiana. If he wins Indiana, he's in a blowout. Then we don't have to worry. We're not on the margins anymore. See, Kevin, the way it's kind of interesting when you mix the popular vote and the Electoral College together. If you win the popular vote by 2 points, you know, if it's 51-49 or even more, if it's 52-48, I guarantee you if you win the popular vote, you win the electoral vote. Then all these machinations don't matter. Because if you win by the popular vote by enough, the electoral vote just marches along. That's how Bill Clinton won in landslides. But it's in the margins. It's when you get in between that 51-49 that all the strange, weird anomalies of our crazy, mixed-up constitutional system, which, by the way, I would throw away the Electoral College, but we got it. So at least it's kind of fun as a political analyst to talk about it. I mean, it exists. We're not getting rid of it in 2 months. So it's in that margin where it's possible that Obama could lose the popular vote but win the electoral vote. And what I'm saying is if he wins Indiana, then he's already won Ohio or Virginia or Colorado. It's just then he's probably won 52% and he walked away with it and we don't have to worry. What I'm saying is Colorado is the probable tipping point state, and I'd say Virginia's next.
I agree with you, but I think Colorado, what worries me about Colorado is Colorado Springs.
Well, yes. Colorado is a fascinating state. Colorado is one of the most divisive American states there is. They should have their own little civil war. I mean, you have Boulder, which is, you know, to the left of Ralph Nader, and Colorado Springs that's to the right of Pat Robertson. I'm surprised they don't have a little civil war out there in Colorado.
How do you see Denver in that equation?
I put Denver as middle of the road liberal. I mean, they're sort of mainstream Democrats. They're not far left like Boulder is. And then rural Colorado is sort of mainstream right. So you have Denver mainstream left, rural mainstream right, Colorado Springs far right, and Boulder far left. It's a fascinating state. And it's very, very close. And what's scary, actually, is that Palin energizes that very far right in Colorado Springs. It doesn't have to be Colorado. I mean, let me be clear. If it's not Colorado, it's Virginia. That's why I'm working very hard. And I got to say, I feel for the rest of you. I know, Kevin, you're in Brooklyn. Your vote doesn't count. You should still vote because it's a responsibility.
Well,
but
I'm voting in Florida. I'm still registered in Florida. So my
vote. Oh, are you? Good. Okay, double check.
I purposely held off getting my New York license back so I can vote in this election.
Kevin, contact the Florida registrar because, remember, the Florida is a Republican-controlled government, and they're going to do their best to keep you from voting.
Well, I already demanded my absentee ballot.
Okay, you going to get it?
I'm supposed to get it by the first week of October.
Okay, if you don't, you call them right away, all right?
I will. I most definitely will because my county gave Bush the election.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you this. I'll say this. After my big four, okay, and I name them in this order, Colorado, then Virginia, then Ohio, then Nevada. Florida's my fifth. Not Indiana. Florida. I do think it's possible Obama will win Florida. Honestly, I think in Florida, the Jewish vote matters probably more than any other state in the United States. Because there are a lot of Jews in Florida, and listen, that's one reason why Gore won the state was because
but they are confined to the southeast of the state.
Right, but it doesn't matter. I mean, in the day, their votes count like anyone else in Florida.
Yeah, once you get out of, let's say, those southeastern counties of Florida, you're basically in the heart of the Confederacy. Trust me, I know.
Well, the way I see Florida
is it's slowly creeping up
about four states. The panhandle, no question, from Pensacola to Jacksonville is the South. Confederate South. Then you've got Miami, which is basically part of Cuba. And then there's Miami Beach and Fort Lauderdale and West Palm Beach, and that's very Jewish. Mini New York, exactly. Then you've got southwestern Florida, which is a military base. And then you've got middle Florida, which people the I-4 corridor, Orlando, Tampa, and
that's where I lived in Volusia County, where I used to live, gave Bush his presidency.
Yeah, that's the middle of the state. That's the part that's neither far right nor far left. But what's interesting is that where the Jewish vote will matter most is not where Jews are most popular, which is New York, obviously, or California, because those states are already going for Obama, or Illinois. But the fourth largest Jewish population, which is in Miami, that's Miami Beach and West Palm Beach. But no, listen, it's good for you to keep up in Florida. Certainly Florida matters a lot more than New York. That's another reason why I hate the Electoral College, because, I mean, you get talk to someone from New York or Illinois or Texas, and it's like, why should they even vote? I mean, it's terrible. I'm really blessed this year. This is my first year that I am truly in. I think I'm in the second most important state in the United States, in Virginia.
Well,
I
think Virginia is going to go through for a ballot because of Richmond, which is a solid African-American sector. And then you have Northern Virginia, which is basically the Northeast passing the Potomac.
Well, let me talk about Virginia, because at the second most important states, obviously Obama could lose Colorado, he could lose New Hampshire, but as long as he wins New Mexico and Virginia and all the other states I'm talking about, he's got it. I mean, that's enough. I'm just doing my math in my head, 260, 273, yeah, that's enough. In fact, he could win New Hampshire and lose New Mexico and win Virginia.
He's going to get New Hampshire.
I think he's going to get New Hampshire, too. In any case, Virginia will do it for him, no question about it. Now, Virginia, as you know, I'm sure, Kevin, has voted Republican every year since 1964, since really
And I get that, but Virginia has changed a lot.
Question about
in Virginia. I used to live in Reston, and Reston is like the Jersey of the South.
Well, no question about it. No, Virginia has changed dramatically, and also you got to remember, Virginia did something incredible for the South. They voted for an African American governor.
Yeah,
it was Doug Wilder.
The Richmond crowd.
It was a very close race. He was way ahead in the polls, and then what happened was what they call the Bradley effect after Tom Bradley in Los Angeles, and a lot of people said they were going to vote for him and didn't, but he still eked out a victory. Virginia has changed. Northern Virginia is growing by leaps and bounds. That's where I live. It's a very liberal area, very high population of Democrats. What's that?
Are you in Fairfax County?
I live in Alexandria, but Fairfax County is one of those counties that changed. It's the largest county in Virginia, and it switched.
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to come down to, just like
also, I'm proud to say I'm on television throughout Northern Virginia. I'm in D.C. too, but D.C., like New York, their votes don't count because they're solid Obama. I'm in TV throughout Northern Virginia. I'm in Alexandria, Arlington, Fairfax, Prince William, if you know Virginia, and you've heard some of my TV shows. I'm on throughout there, and that is solid Obama territory and territory that I can do my best to help influence. But I'll tell you, I'm still worried about Virginia. Even we now have a Democratic governor. We got one Democratic senator. We're about to have a second one when Mark Warner is going to kill Jim Gilmore. He's going to become our Democratic senator. We'll have two Democratic senators, a Democratic governor, but I'm still a little worried. And my worry, Kevin, my worry is race. I'll be dead honest about it.
That's my worry, too.
Colorado, I think, is post-race. I think that in Colorado, yeah, they fight over right-wing and left-wing. They fight over focus on the family and abortion and homosexuality. But I don't see them as fighting over race. In Virginia, it's the old Dominion. It's the old South. And even though my area in Northern Virginia will go heavily for Obama, I am worried, and so will Richmond, and so will Tidewater. I'm worried about the rest of the state. I'm worried that there are people, good old boy Democrats, who agree with the Democrats on economic issues, but can't pull the lever for a blind man.
Well, here's another county you got to look into: Loudoun County, the overflow of Fairfax.
Yeah, no, Loudoun's changing, and in fact, Loudoun County is another county that my show reaches. I should have mentioned them. So it's interesting. All these counties you're mentioning, I've got a regular TV show for, and
I
guarantee you,
Prince William County.
It does go into parts of Prince William County. Yes. Now, yeah. Prince William is one of those counties that's on the margin that's probably still going to go Republican, but it's changing. The point is that Obama really could just spend all his time in Colorado, Virginia, and Ohio. And, I mean, he's got to protect his base. He's got to go into Pennsylvania and protect it. Jersey, or Lilo writes in that Lido's in Pennsylvania, and that is an important state. And listen, if he loses Pennsylvania, he's in big trouble. If he loses Pennsylvania, I don't know how he ever comes back. I mean, that would just I'm going to be watching these returns. If McCain wins Pennsylvania, stick a fork in it. Obama's done. He's just done.
If he loses Pennsylvania, he better win Ohio.
Well, if he loses Pennsylvania, he has to win Ohio just to stay even. And then he's still got to win Colorado or Virginia. And I just don't see him losing Pennsylvania and winning Ohio. To me, Pennsylvania and Ohio are very similar. Very similar. They got similar demographics, the old Rust Belt, a lot of white working class voters. Pennsylvania's got a few more African Americans than Ohio does, and so it tends to be, you know, 2-3 points more to the Democrats than Ohio.
The reason why
I can't see him winning Ohio and losing Pennsylvania. I just don't even think that's possible. Do you, Kevin?
Yeah, because Cincinnati's one of the most racist northern cities you can think of.
Well, that's my point. Ohio is harder to win than Pennsylvania. If he loses Pennsylvania,
especially Cincinnati. Cincinnati, a lot of people's ancestry comes from the South. A lot of them go to summer.
Very southern city.
It
is. It's a very southern city. Here's what I guess I'd want people to do, and we're going to talk more about this as the election gets closer. But if you're like me and you got your map out, you'll be watching the states. Okay. If Obama loses Pennsylvania, like I say, stick a fork in it, he's done. If he loses New Hampshire, it's really not that terrible. If he wins Virginia, start celebrating. If he wins Virginia, he's probably going to win the election. If, as I suspect and I fear, he wins Pennsylvania and loses Virginia, which is the expected category, and he goes on to win all the states that I expect, Michigan, and he ekes out a loss in Ohio, which might well happen, don't give up hope. Because then all eyes will be on Colorado. And I just have to think back to the genius. And I don't know if it was Obama's genius or Howard Dean's genius. I don't know who to give credit to. But the genius of having that convention in Denver may well make the difference in the election. I want you to think about this. In Denver, and I was there, there were 80,000 people filling up those football stands, listening to the man, you know, one-on-one, live in person. And what that magical night did, and it was a very magical night, the weather, everything was perfect, is it means that they are inoculated, just like someone gets a vaccine. They were inoculated against McCain's attacks and Sarah Palin. They heard the man themselves. They heard the man, you know, face-to-face say, I'm not going to raise your taxes. So McCain's going to say, Obama's going to raise your taxes. And I'm going to say, no, the man told me. I heard him. And they have friends. And Denver is the largest city by far in Colorado. That he may win Colorado if it comes down neck and neck. And again, this isn't popular vote neck and neck. Obama could lose the popular vote. But electorally neck and neck, he may win Colorado by 3,000, 4,000 votes. If he does,
he's losing the popular vote. I really don't.
You know, Kevin, I hope you're right. But I got to tell you, at this point, I'm manning the bases. You know, it's like when they breach your front lines and you go back and defend your fort. I'm defending the electoral fort. At the end of the day, who wins a popular vote? It's not that important. I mean, it's important.
I don't see him losing the power. I'm more concerned about electoral. And you have to understand, a lot of these red states have gerrymandered in creating districts.
Yeah, but that only affects Congress. That doesn't
spread.
No, but wait, Kevin. Gerrymandering does affect races for the House of Representatives, but it doesn't affect the race for president.
Well, that's how the electoral votes are determined.
No. Only two states in the whole United States, Maine and Nebraska, determine electoral votes by congressional district. And Maine will almost certainly go entirely for Obama, and Nebraska will almost certainly go entirely for McCain. They're the only two states in the country. 48 states are winner-take-all.
Yeah.
Gerrymander is irrelevant.
That I get, and which you're 100%, and that I agree with. But like, take a state like Florida now, where an overwhelming majority of the population lives in southeast Florida, okay? But
right.
That's only four counties, four or five counties.
Right.
There are other 20-some-odd counties where they have the rest of the electoral votes where there's hardly nobody in the panhandle and all that, in the I-4 corridor in West
Kevin,
Florida.
Kevin, my point, I agree with you about the demographics of Florida, but let me explain something. I need to make it very clear. The Electoral College It's the overall winner. If Obama beats McCain by one vote in Florida and it's certified and they don't do shenanigans, let's assume, even though it's crazy to assume it, let's assume a fair election in Florida. If Obama beats McCain by one vote, he gets all 27 electoral votes of Florida. It doesn't matter whether that extra vote came in West Palm Beach or in Pensacola. Because the electoral votes of Florida, all 27, go to the winner. If Obama wins by one vote, he gets all 27. If McCain wins by one vote, he gets all 27. In 48 states of the United States, it's exactly the same way. In California, Obama needs to only win by two votes, and he gets 55 electoral votes. In New York, wins by two, gets 31. Now, there are two states, Maine and Nebraska, that don't do it that way. In Maine and Nebraska, in Maine, two goes to the overall winner of the state, one goes to the winner of one electoral congressional district, and one goes to one of another congressional district. So conceivably, in Maine, it could go 3-1. Nebraska also is the same as Maine. Two goes to the winner, and then three goes to each of the congressional districts. And there is one congressional district in Nebraska, the one where they have their largest city, Lincoln, that conceivably could go to Obama, but I don't think it
will. What about Omaha?
Omaha... it's Omaha, not Lincoln. You're absolutely right. Omaha is the big city. Lincoln's the capital. You're right. It's Omaha. But I got to tell you something. Only Maine and Nebraska do gerrymandering matter. Only those two states. And the one, even Omaha, that one electoral vote, I just don't see it making a difference.
Wait, you want to hear a dark horse scenario?
Okay.
Which would embarrass McCain? Texas. Because of the hurricane and the mismanagement of the hurricane.
They're not blaming McCain for that, Kevin.
You don't think so?
They're not.
Well, they're...
I think they're blaming Bush, and I think they're not blaming McCain like they should. I'd like Obama to tie it. Let's, you know, the debates are obviously going to be very important. And my hope is Obama...
I have a feeling McCain is going to be rather embarrassed because I think there are some traditional red states which are going to be blue.
Honestly, Virginia, Colorado, New Mexico, and Ohio.
And I would throw one more into that mix. I agree with you with those, but I'm going to throw one more into that mix.
Indiana?
Like in Indiana.
You think Indiana is really changing?
I said, no, I don't think it's changed, but the economy is so bad. And then you have Gary, Indiana, which is basically Chicago.
I know, but that's just a small part of the state. Gary and Indianapolis against the rest of the state. See, the thing is, Kevin, if the Democrats were solely looking for a winner, they never would have picked an African-American because 90% of African-Americans vote for the Democratic Party anyway. So that 90% goes up to 95%. I mean, it doesn't make – and there'll be some excitement. There'll be some more get-out-the-vote efforts. But I don't think that Obama's increase in the African-American vote over Kerry's will be that substantial already.
No.
The great majority – I mean, honestly, if he picked – that's why the Democrats that tend to win are people like white Southern governors, people like Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter. Because white Southerners are the ones who aren't voting for the Democrats. It's the same idea when McCain picks Palin. Women traditionally vote for Democrats. So if McCain, by picking a woman, he's hoping to go into that traditional Democratic strength. If Democrats pick a white Southerner, they're trying to go into Republican strength. And heck, it worked for Bill Clinton. Democrats elected Obama because they thought he'd be the best president of the United States, not because they thought he'd be the most likely to win. I mean, they should pick John Edwards, right? Southern senator, white guy, if the sole goal was to win. So,
yeah.
But it is Obama's year in the sense that, I mean, you know, Wall Street's falling apart. The war is never ending. The economy is down in the dumps. John McCain is old and tired and has said incredible things like the fundamentals of the economy are good. This is a year when normally the Democrats should win. And if they don't, I think a lot of people will attribute it to race.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is. And when they say, when they keep on promoting, especially, and I can't stand them, that the former congressman from Pensacola.
Pensacola, Florida?
Uh-huh, yeah. In the morning, he comes on MSNBC.
Oh, you mean Scarborough?
Yeah, Chuck.
Scarborough, I was on the Judiciary Committee when he was there. He was an ass.
Yeah, he is an ass. But he gets people vote for their gut. And he keeps on pushing that through and through.
Well, he's right. Unfortunately, he's right about some of that. Yeah. And that's exactly who John McCain's going for. His campaign manager, Rick Davis, said, this campaign this year is not about the issues. I mean, I know he thinks that, but can you believe he said it? Well, but, Kevin, he's partly right. I wish it were only about, if it were only about the issues, Obama would be winning 70-30.
Yeah.
70-30, if it were only about the issues. I mean, it's less than 30% of the country supports Bush-Cheney, and anyone who's not an idiot knows that John McCain is going to be 90% the same as Bush.
Yeah.
So if the answer is, do you like the way that the country's going, 70% of Americans say no. The question is, who are those 20% that believe in Obama on the issues? That 1 in 5 Americans that believe in Obama on the issues.
But it's not going to vote for him.
But is leaning toward John McCain, and you have to ask yourself why.
Those are the people that, and like rightfully so, scare you in on, because it's like they'd rather suffer through another 4 years of this than go for a real fresh start. And I think it goes down.
You know what, Kevin? I think there's fear. I think they fear a black president. I'm not saying it's reasonable.
Oh.
It's absolutely reasonable.
It's the Epper Jones scenario.
It's ignorance, and it's, listen, racism is taught. It's not something you're born with. And they've been taught from the time they were a child, fear and racist hate. And some of it's subtle. They would, things they would never say openly.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm very worried about that, and I'm you know, there's nothing I can do about it except worry about it. But I know I worry about this country, because I think if Obama loses,
this country's in a lot of trouble.
Well, not only will be a lot of country economically and militarily and you know, but I fear for our social. See, if Obama wins, it really would bring this country together. It would be a sign, I think, the first major sign since the end of Jim Crow. To African American citizens, that you know that blacks are part of the American culture and dream and society and politics and everything. I actually think that for a lot of black folk, it would be a huge sign of, you know, you've made it.
Come along, yeah, it will.
You know, and yes, there'll always will be some racism, but at this point, the reason you're not getting ahead is probably more because of you than because of racism.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if Obama loses, then I think the message to black people will be exactly the opposite. Don't try to get that job. You're probably not going to get it. They don't let a black man or a black woman do that anyway.
Yeah. I have a prediction, and I've worked out the map, and based on the conversation, I have 306-232 Obama electoral votes.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you can call me an optimist or a pessimist, but I tend to work at the margins because that's what I'm worried about. Because I don't know, when I try to win a game, when I'm playing a game, and I'm a poker player, I'm a bridge player, when I try to win a game, I try to get just enough to win the game. And the over stuff, that's just, you know, great. I'm happy to get it, but it doesn't really bother me. My focus is whatever I can do to get just enough to win, and if I win more, that's enough. I'm focused on just enough to win, and that's why I'm talking so much about Colorado and Virginia, or Ohio. If you live anywhere in those states or near those states, please go to help. You couldn't do a greater job for your country, because our listeners in Colorado, you know, you're in New York, you could probably have to head over to Pennsylvania and do some work there. But
well,
but if you have listeners in Colorado,
interesting enough about Pennsylvania,
yeah,
there are a lot of ex-New Yorkers living in Philadelphia who commute from Pennsylvania into New York.
That's good.
So, you know, so there's a huge Brooklyn expatriate community, which I am in contact with, saying vote for, and they're all voting for Obama.
One other thing I think we should mention, and a lot of people in the chat room have already picked up on this, and that's Barr and Nader and Paul and McKinney.
Oh, yes.
And we can talk about each of them. I was really pulling for Bob Barr. Go, Barr, go. Because I think Bob Barr was the one most likely to take Republican votes. You see, I want Bob Barr to be successful. I want Ron Paul to be successful because at the end of the day, it's fascinating. Even though Ron Paul has many positions, like the war in Iraq, that are close to Democratic positions, his base, which tends to be young, white, male, and angry, and believing in conspiracy theories, I just don't see them voting for Obama. So I want Paul and Barr to do really well. I want McKinney and Nader to do awfully. I want them to do terribly. I want them to self-destruct. I want them to quit. I want them to throw their support to Obama. They worry me because every vote for McKinney and Nader is a vote away from Obama.
I don't think they're even going to be a factor.
You know, right now they're showing up like 2% in the polls. I know it goes down. But, you know, look at Boulder, Colorado. And I've been to Boulder. I love Boulder. I've spoken in Boulder. They've had me there at the Conference on World Affairs for 3 years now. I love the people of Boulder. But listen up to me, and I know I have some listeners in Boulder. The people of Boulder are going to be the ones that are most likely going to consider Cynthia McKinney. They tend to be left of Kucinich, left of the Democratic Party. They tend to be the ones who are most loud complaining about the Democratic Party. And I'll be the first to admit the Democratic Party is not perfect. But it's a heck of a lot better than the alternative. And Obama, although he's not perfect, is a heck of a lot better than John McCain. And you're going to find there's going to be a few people in Boulder, a few people that, no, a pox on both your houses. I'm voting for Nader or I'm voting for McKinney. And if we lose Colorado by 2,000 votes, I'm going to be mighty angry when I come up to Boulder and find out that, 10,000 Boulder citizens voted for Cynthia McKinney or Ralph Nader. I'm going to be hopping mad.
I would be, too, because but the reality is I think Nader and McKinney come into, like, solid blue states. I think people of Boulder...
No, but Colorado is... I disagree. Colorado is a great example where Colorado is the swing state and Boulder has a lot of people that might vote for them. Yeah. You may be right most of the time. I mean, I don't care if you live in Vermont or you live in New York and you want to vote for Cynthia McKinney.
Exactly.
Whatever. You don't bother me. You live in the District of Columbia, just across the river from me, and you want to vote for Cynthia McKinney, be my guest. I'm not gonna yell at you. But I think back to those, 23,000 New Hampshire voters in 2000. And I'm still, if I ever find a New Hampshire Nader voter in 2000, I'm going to have a hard time not wringing their neck. I mean, I'm so angry at them because, they bother me more than the Republican voters. If you voted for Bush, okay, I disagree with you. I think you're an idiot. But at the same time, you voted your heart, and I really can't complain. If you vote for Nader or you vote for McKinney and you're in one of those states that could anyway be close, Michigan, Pennsylvania included, and you vote for them and they lose that state and John McCain becomes president, how are you going to feel knowing that you threw away your vote on your first choice and your second choice, Obama, could have won if it hadn't been for you? How are you going to feel?
Well, New Hampshire, to me, I think the influence of Massachusetts is so overwhelming now that it's going to go blue.
I think we're going to win New Hampshire. I agree with you, but New Hampshire's not enough. New Hampshire only gets us to 264. We need six more. And we can get five from Nevada, and that'd be enough to get to the tie.
I think
a lot more Democrats to move to Las Vegas. We got a lot of Democrats.
The Mormons on the fringes, they're the ones. Mormon. When you say Mormon, look Republican.
Right. Well, see, if it's not Nevada, I tell you, I come back. I come back to Colorado, Virginia, and Ohio. I come back to where I started. Kevin, thanks for calling in. I appreciate going through the math with you. I appreciate it.
Okay. It's been fun.
Well, no, it's good. Listen, like I said, usually I talk about policy. Usually I talk about record. And no question, when the debates come up, I'll be talking about the debates. But every now and then, I like to get out my calculator.
When is
get
the
out
debate,
numbers.
By the way?
The 26th, next Friday, a week from tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Is the first presidential debate. And then they come really quick, one after the other. So it's a week from Friday. And then the next week, Thursday, that's the vice presidential debate. I think we're going to have a lot more people watch the vice presidential debate than normal.
Yes, I want to see that.
And then they just come another presidential debate the next week and one the next week thereafter. So starting next week, next 4 weeks, four debates, 4 weeks, and
okay.
That's all I'm going
to
is debates, right? And then after that, I mean, it's just 3 weeks to go. It's less.
Okay.
It's less. It's amazing. So, Kevin, last thing before you go, what are you doing? What are you personally doing to help elect Barack Obama as president of the United States?
Well, it's those Brooklyn, Pennsylvania expatriates.
You going to go to Pennsylvania and help out?
Maybe. But right now, like, I work with a lot of people who live in Pennsylvania but commute into New York.
All right.
And they're spreading the word, and they're out there.
Good. Talk to your
I do plan on spending my weekend venturing down to Philadelphia.
That's good. If you want to take a couple trips up to New Hampshire, that wouldn't be bad either.
That would be a bit far.
That's okay. Go to Pennsylvania. We need Pennsylvania. That's important. Wherever you live, there should be a place to go. For me, I'm in Mission Central. I'm doing my best on television and radio. I'm talking. Virginia matters. If we win Virginia, I can just throw the map away. If Obama wins Virginia, I'm not worried. I'm not worried at all.
He's going to take it. I have a feeling. The stars are lined up.
We'll see. If he wins Virginia, he doesn't even need New Mexico. If he wins Virginia, he doesn't need New Mexico. He doesn't need Colorado. All he would need is New Hampshire to win. And if he wins Virginia, I'm sure he's going to win New Hampshire. So I'm going to be working there. Thanks again for your call, Kevin. I've got to say goodbye. My time's about up. Folks, if you want to comment on this, if you disagree with my electoral analysis, or you think I'm right on, go ahead. Go to my website, radioinsidescoop.com. I don't see a lot of Horn listeners there. I see a few of y'all, but not too much. Feel free. Leave a comment. Talk to each other. Part of being part of the Inside Scoop is not just doing what Kevin did and calling in, but also commenting on the blog. Feel free to add your own articles there if you find something interesting. Let your fellow Horn listeners know. That's radioinsidescoop.com, radioinsidescoop.com. You can also send an email to me right there on the website. There's a point where you can click email Mark. You can also, by the way, check out my video resume. I'm doing real changes to my website. I think you're going to see some new exciting changes over the next couple weeks. But click on my video resume, and you'll see me on a whole variety of topics, including my prediction 3 months ago that Colorado would be the swing state. Well, I may change these predictions as we get closer, but I don't think so. I think they're going to stand firm throughout the election. I hope all of you have a wonderful weekend. And then next week, the debate. Do your best. Do your best to help Obama and Biden win. You can contribute money. You can call your friends in one of those swing states. But everyone has to work together. We've got to win this election. This is Mark Levine, signing off.